All right, are we ready to start? Okay, I'd like to call to order the September 20th Budget and Finance Commission meeting at 4 o'clock p.m. Ms. Tanner, may I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Beasley?
Here.
Commissioner Fortunato?
Here.
Vice Chair Mason?
Here.
Chair Salverson?
Here. Okay, thank you. And now I'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I don't believe we have anybody in the audience. Am I right?
No speakers, Madam Chair.
Okay, then I don't need to read all of the information. Okay, so we'll close the call to audience. And Mr. Gephardt, you can please proceed with the staff liaison report.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. First off, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the break during the summer months, and hope that that all went well. I just got a couple things to discuss or highlight this evening. First off, our auditors are scheduled to audit the town. They'll be on site for field work next week. And they'll probably be here for most of the week, if not the entire week. So we will be entertaining them and responding to their requests and needs. And then after that, proceeding with drafting financial statements. Secondly, as you may see, Jack Longley is not with us this evening. Jack, unfortunately, had to resign from the commission due to some health issues that he was undergoing. So we will be going out soon and publishing the open position on the commission and trying to get that filled. And then I guess last but not least, there is a council meeting tomorrow evening. And on the agenda, it's on consent. There's an item that all that I've put on there that is a general fund loan to the water fund, and the purpose of that loan, I just kind of wanted to discuss that really quickly, is to first off utilize our ARPA money, the part that's not fenced off or restricted, to utilize that and comply with rules and regulations with the utilization of those resources. And so water infrastructure improvements is kind of a clear and easy threshold, or a clear utilization that complies with Treasury standards. So we've kind of, we will be proposing utilizing, and it's about $5.4 million proposed utilizing that for water infrastructure improvements. And then structuring that so that there's actually a stream from the water fund that gets repaid to the general fund over time. And what we proposed is a 15-year loan at 1.5%. And that way we basically, I kind of view it as a win-win situation or scenario, because the water fund, it precludes them or prevents them from having to go out externally for additional either bonding or loan. Or a loan type arrangement, which would cost them quite a bit more money. But then it also releases those restrictions, those ARPA monies, to be utilized over time in that repayment structure to be utilized for general operations of the town. And so I kind of view it as a win for the water fund, but also a win for the town operations as a whole. There's no prepayment penalty, so it could be certainly paid off prior to that 15-year term, but we'll see whether the council approves that or not. That's on the agenda for tomorrow evening. And with that, that concludes my comments this afternoon.
Okay. I had a question. Is it a capital project that we're funding, with the loan, or is it just business as usual?
Madam Chair, these would be infrastructure improvements, so they would all be capital. So, yes.
And what kind of capital?
We have that. That's the water utility has the NERDS project. There's kind of the partnered piece, but then there's also the town piece, which is not partnered. And so the non-partnered NERDS Northwest Recharge Redevelopment Water Improvement Project, those the non-partnered piece is the piece that we would be undertaking. The partnered piece has been delayed pending agreement within the partners, either the Marana Water Utility or Metro Water Utility. The other two partners, we've kind of pumped the brakes on the partnered piece because their bids were just way out of line. So,
Jim?
Dave, why is it a loan?
Commissioner Beasley, members of the commission, we consider it a loan because basically that's just a way for us to release those restrictions on those resources and get a kind of provide a repayment stream to the town over time. And so certainly we could, we didn't have to utilize the resources for the water utility. We could try to be more creative or find alternative uses. There are basically four authorized uses, and one of them is revenue recovery or revenue replacement, which is the $10 million piece. It's kind of the unfenced off piece. And then there's three others. One of them is premium pay. One of them is, other types of assistance to nonprofits in the community. And then there's the final category, which is infrastructure improvements to water, sewer, storm drain, and fiber. But fiber is really restricted, even in terms of it has to be utilized for areas of the community that are disadvantaged or economically challenged. And so there's some really kind of some tight strings even on the fiber piece. So we could utilize it for we can't utilize it for sewer because the town doesn't own its own sewer. But storm drain would be an authorized use as well. And then we could have done loans or done different types of arrangements, which we did with our CARES Act funding for community, either doing grants or loans to the fire district, Golden Ranch, Northwest Fire, or to Northwest Hospital. I mean, there's some different things that we could have considered. We just felt like keeping the funds internal to the town and whatever, we just felt like this was, again, kind of a win-win situation for both the water utility and the town. So we just felt like this was the best bang for the buck.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Is it still in the accounting rules that if transactions between an enterprise fund and a governmental fund have to be kind of a loan type situation or a receivable type situation?
Vice Chair Mason, members of the commission, yeah, that really is correct. I think we do a really good job as a town really keeping our water utility separate and distinct from the town. It really is supposed to be self-supporting. And so, and that's why we've proposed terms to it. It really is, and it will be recorded on, as a due to and due from on the balance sheet of both the town and the water utility. It will be, so it will be kind of fundamentally different than the loan that we did to the community center from the general fund of the community center back when we acquired the community center. In that case, there was nothing that was recorded in our financial software. It was just kind of a repayment. It was approved by resolution by that council. There were no terms associated with it other than 10 years, 0% interest. So we kind of tried to structure this a little bit differently so that it it does really kind of keep the water utility separate and distinct. They are getting a good deal. I think the water utility director recognizes that. So and hopefully our community that you know that is on the water system and pays the water bill, hopefully they recognize that as well.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? All right. Danielle, could you please read in item number one?
Item number one, review and approval of the June 21st, 2022 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from commission members? Okay, I'd like to call for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. All right, Danielle, item number two, please.
Item number two, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 21-22 financial update through June 2022.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Wendy.
Thank you. Make sure this is gonna, yep. I think we're good, Carlos. All right. Good afternoon, commission members. Pleased to be back. Hope you all had a good break. We did finish the year strong as expected in our funds, so we'll jump right in and get you all the details. We'll start with the general fund, as usual, with our revenues, local sales tax. This was not unexpected as we saw collections coming in, but ended the year about 31% over budget. Exceeded budget expectations by about $6.6 million. That was driven by, you know, essentially just higher than expected growth. You know, we budgeted conservatively. There was strong recovery in all the categories impacted by COVID, but also much stronger construction sales tax revenues than we had expected. And then inflation certainly drove that as well. For the state shared revenues, those came in about 12% over budget, or about $1.6 million in total. As you remember, we do have the new Smart and Safe funds this fiscal year. Those totaled about $235,000. But our sales tax as well outperformed budget by about $230,000. And then our urban revenue sharing or income taxes came in over budget as well by about $170,000. Charges for services, we've been watching this category come in through the fiscal year, came in total about $260,000 over budget. We had very strong recreation revenue, really is the sole driver of that overage. In total, our swimming aquatic center fees, class fees, and field and court, like ball field rentals, all those categories in total came in about $340,000. Over budget, so strong growth there. Licenses and permits came in about 29% over budget, or a total of about $540,000. That was higher than expected in both commercial activity and residential. Even though we didn't hit our SFR, our budgeted single family residential permit numbers for the fiscal year, we still came in over budget in that category, probably just due to higher valuations, more custom homes, et cetera, driving those additional revenues. But then commercial activity came in about $350,000 over budget, just due to some large project activity that we saw. Grant revenue, we've now booked all of our ARPA funds. That is the amount you see there, just over $6 million, or about 99% of budget. We've now recognized our full $10 million that Dave was alluding to, the unrestricted or lost revenue piece. We booked $4.4 million of that in fiscal year 2021, and then the remaining $5.6 million for fiscal year 21-22. And then our all other, which wraps in our other intergovernmental revenue, our interest income, and miscellaneous revenue, those groups in total came in under budget by about 30% or $585,000. Really, that sole variance is our unrecognized loss that we had to book at year end for our investments. So that loss in the general fund, even though it's unrecognized, we do have to book it. It was about $950,000 that we saw in fiscal year 21-22. In total, general fund revenues came in at $55.5 million, or about 18% over budget. We outperformed by nearly 18%, or $8.4 million. Moving on to the expenditures for the general fund, personnel came in about 2.5%. under budget, or $760,000. That was due to vacancies that we saw throughout the fiscal year, primarily in the police department, based on what I saw, but across other departments as well. On our O&M, we came in about 2% under budget, or about $460,000, totaled about $21.5 million. We came in under budget in several categories, building repair and maintenance related to some ARPA placeholders that we had placed in there, saw significantly lower costs in some of those projects than we'd expected, but also insurance came in under budget, funding of outside sources. Again, that was ARPA related, some capacity that had been placed in our budget for that. And then some savings we saw overall in outside professional services. For capital, that variance there, actuals came in about $600,000 for the fiscal year, about $500,000 under budget. That's just due to our budgeted westward look improvements, the roadway and the landscape maintenance that we're doing there. It's rolled over into the current fiscal year. So that's the variance you see for capital. And then transfers out, we've mentioned this before, we didn't have to do a principal payment for our pension obligation bonds, so that category came in under budget by about $1.1 million. In total, general fund expenditures were about $58.4 million, or 95.3% of budget, so under budget in total by just under $3 million, or 4.7%. Here's the chart for the general fund. You can see our revenues, about $55.5 million compared to $53.6 million last year. Now, that may not seem like much, but you do want to remember that the CARES funding was also in the previous fiscal year, about $5.3 million. So that year included both the first ARPA tranche and CARES funding. On the capital side, you see $58.4 million spent in the current year compared to $42.1 million last year. We had an additional $4 million transfer out to capital to fund all of our capital needs there. We had, obviously, our $10 million payment to PSPRS, which is included in our O&M figures. And then our class and comp implementation as well, our MOU, our police department MOU employees, and their payments that posted in last fiscal year. In total, we budgeted to use fund balance of about $14.2 million. We are going to only use about $2.9 million is what we're estimating. That would bring us to an ending fund balance in the general fund of about $29.5 million, which is 54.7%. of budgeted expenditures, and that exceeds council's 25% policy by $16 million. Moving on to the highway fund, licenses and permits. Those revenues include right-of-way and road permits. Those came in just a bit over budget due to higher than expected permit activity. State shared revenues, our HERF dollars were strong. We saw about 7% growth over the previous fiscal year, came in over budget by about 10%, or $365,000. And then all other, that negative number you see, obviously the fair market valuation of our investments, the unrecognized loss, was across all funds. And so that is what you see reflected there for that category. In total, highway fund revenues came in just under $4 million, or about 9.6% over budget. So finished strong there in that fund. And then on the expenditure side for the highway fund, we had just a little bit of personnel savings due to some vacancies and refills that happened during the fiscal year, but also some underutilized overtime budget as well. On our O&M, we don't usually see a whole lot of savings in this fund. We have a pretty trim and tight O&M budget in the highway fund, so came in just a bit under. There was some savings in some of transportation engineering's various line items. And then capital actuals were as expected. That was our pavement preservation program and then our Lambert Lane overlay CIP project. In total for the highway fund, expenditures were about $4 million, or 98.7% of budget, so savings in total of about $55,000. Here's the chart for the highway fund. Pretty standard. You can see that revenue growth, $4 million in actuals for the current fiscal year compared to $3.8 million last year. And then the expenditures, $4 million compared to $3.4 million spent in the previous year. That's really what's driving that is the Lambert Lane overlay project. That was about a $600,000 project in there. We had budgeted to use fund balance in the highway fund of about $443,000, due primarily to the HERF dollars that came in stronger. We're only expecting to use fund balance of about $36,000. And that would land us at an ending fund balance of about $1.2 million in that fund. And then finally, the Community Center Fund. We can talk about the revenues first. Contracted operating revenues finished very strong. Actuals were just over $4.7 million, or 30.5% of budget. Or I'm sorry, 130.5% of budget. Totals came in about $1.1 million over. All their revenue sources performed significantly higher than expected. Their golf revenues, but also their member dues. They had significantly higher food and beverage activity revenues, but also merchandise sales as well were over budget. For town operating revenues, those came in over budget as well. We saw significant outperformance for recreation program revenues, the camps that we run there. I think what you're seeing there is just recovery from COVID. Maybe last year a lot of parents didn't do those programs and everybody clearly jumped back into it this year. So we saw very strong growth there, but also their member dues performed well for the fiscal year. And then our other revenues, that's where we have our half-cent sales tax, which is the bulk of that area, but also our HOA contributions, interest income, et cetera. Really what's driving that overage there is our half-cent sales tax. That came in about $600,000 or 20% over budget. In total, Community Center Fund revenues were about $9.5 million. We outperformed budget by $2.1 million or 28.3%. For the expenditures in the Community Center Fund, contracted operating came in just about on budget, just slightly over. That's really just due to, they had additional sales for food and beverage and additional merchandise sales. Obviously, that's going to bump up your cost of sales as well. So that's really the entire reason why they saw such a tight ending amount in that area. For the town side, we also came in just a bit over budget. Obviously, when they run additional programs at the community center, they have additional contract staff that runs these programs. And so oftentimes when we see strong revenues, we also see budget exceeded on the expenditure side with the contracted payouts. But there were some additional grounds maintenance dollars as well. Capital outlay came in just a smidge over budget at $139,000. We had various needs at both the community center and the push facility that took place last fiscal year. And then transfers out, we've talked about this before, similar situation to the general fund, but a different series. We had only an interest payment on our parks and rec bonds last fiscal year. So that is the variance you see there of about $1.6 million. In total, expenditures in the Community Center Fund were about $6.3 million, so under budget by about $1.5 million or 18.8%. And then our chart for the Community Center Fund, you can see really that strong growth there in the revenues, with the facility just operating full steam this whole past fiscal year, $9.5 million compared to $7.6 million last year. And then expenditures, not surprisingly, were up as well, $6.3 million compared to $5.8 million last year. We had budgeted to use fund balance in this fund, about $400,000. We are actually going to land at a surplus, about $3.2 million is what we're looking at right now. And that would bring the Community Center Fund to an ending fund balance of just under $6 million, or $5.9. And with that, we'll take any questions you may have.
Okie dokie. Jim?
Wendy, our charges for services really went up because of programs. What kind of level of capacity are we running on those programs? Are we going to have an issue coming up?
Commissioner Beasley, I'm not aware, but that would definitely be a question that I'd want to direct to our Parks and Recreation Director. I can follow up with her and get back to you. I'm not usually privy to that kind of stuff, but I have not heard of any issues or capacity problems in that area.
You also mentioned that we've had some employee turnover. Is that a problem, hiring people? Are we having any issues there?
I'm not aware of any current issues. I do know that we had some officer vacancies throughout the fiscal year. I'd probably want the chief to weigh in on kind of more specifics to that, but that's where I saw most of the savings when I was doing some analysis at in the year. I know we had mentioned some struggles with hiring of transit drivers earlier in the year, but that I think those issues have been resolved. I have not heard of any further problems in that area.
One last quickie. Our highway fund revenues are basically coming out of gas taxes, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have any idea what the state legislature or whoever is who's looking at this is going to do with regard to electric vehicles that aren't going to consume gas?
Commissioner Beasley, I do not. I know that I've seen some, you know, interesting articles kind of, you know, starting to touch on that and wondering what that impact might look like in the future. It's, you know, it's something that we definitely need to keep in mind and keep our finger on and probably start researching a little bit more. But that's the extent of the details that I've seen, is just some articles kind of exploring potential impacts in the future.
Good. Okay. First of all, congratulations on completing another successful fiscal year. I think the year ended up great. It seems like we're back to normal levels just about with everything, which is very nice. A couple questions I had. The first one has to do with the golf, which the revenues were just off the charts, right? Over $1 million in excess of budget. And then you look at the expenses, and they were also increased, but at a much, much smaller percent. So kind of a twofold question. One is this what we would expect? There's not that much of an increase in cost for relative to the increase in playing revenues from playing. And the next kind of part of it is, are we at capacity there, or is this something where if we continue to increase playing golf, are we still going to, are we not going to have a huge increase in expenses and that kind of same type of a percent would be expected? Mm-hmm. Or is there going to be a big jump up in costs at some point?
Yeah. Chair Silverson, I would probably want our general manager to weigh in on that in terms of capacity and what that might look like going forward. I do know with the comparison of the revenues and the expenditures, some of those cost of sales overages are being offset by some personnel savings
that they saw during the fiscal year, some pretty sizable personnel savings, I think. And they may have had some utility savings too. And so that's kind of helping to make a dent in that overall expenditure growth, and probably making that picture look a little rosier than they really did land. But we can definitely get more details on both of those questions from him. He'd be able to address those certainly.
Okay, and then the other piece of it is the half-cent sales tax is now generating $3.5 million. And, you know, initially, of course, it was started to just kind of close the gap. So is there anything there about potentially reducing that at all? Or I know we can divert it to all parks and recs, right? But, it's still quite a large excess, much more than what it was intended to cover.
That's correct, Chair Silverson. And we are, you know, utilizing those additional revenues to pay the debt service on the Parks and Rec bonds, which is covering, as you know, other areas besides the community center. And so, you know, we will see those full principal and interest debt service payments next year, or the current year, I should say, which are significant. And so that's obviously going to utilize a good chunk of that. I have not heard of any mention of possibly reducing it in the future. I guess that, you know, that would be per council direction.
And then some other little questions. Let's see, what did I have written down here? Bed tax. So this was on one of your detail sheets. Let's see, the detail sheets about the revenues. And my question is, does bed tax just come from the local hotels, or is there anything with, you know, VRBOs and that sort of thing? Does that contribute to bed tax as well?
Chair Silverson, yes, it does.
Okay. And I had one more question. Maybe I get the looking for the chart I was looking at. Okay. Okay, state shared sales tax in June was $900,000, which is practically double all the other months. So I just didn't know if there's anything that happened to cause that.
It may have just been due to our year-end accruals that we saw. We had to kind of book back a month. We're usually kind of a month behind on those, so that may be why June looked large.
Was a lot larger. Didn't know if that was going to be something to expect going forward or not. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Any other commissioners have any questions?
Yeah, just a couple. Getting back to the recreational fees, are we back to where we were as far as the amount of revenue collected as before the pandemic?
I believe so, Vice Chair Mason.
So if you were to compare it now to where it was 2 years ago, is it pretty much the same then?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yep.
Also, on the HOA contributions, you know, you said before that was on a five-year, and I imagine we're getting pretty close to the end of the five-year, maybe a year or two left. Is there going to be another contract established once this one runs out?
Vice Chair Mason, I don't believe so. I do believe that those will be ending after the five-year.
Does that, the HOA contributions, does that show in the miscellaneous income?
It does,
it
yes.
Does. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Commissioner Fortunato, any questions? No? Okay, anything else? Well, we appreciate all of your hard work, and thank you for answering our questions.
You're welcome.
All right, we are now at council liaison comments. So does the mayor have any information for us? Is he down there? Okay, any future agenda items? Does council have any future agenda items we'd like to see addressed?
We've brought up some topics in previous meetings. is it at some point that we're going to get some of those scheduled at maybe after the audit or?
Vice Chair Mason, Chair Salverson, members of the commission, can you refresh my memory on what some of those items are?
I think one was, let me think now, was I think Marketplace was one. And I think the new reserve was, I think, another area. And it seemed like there was
Westward
something.
Look, Westward Look?
Yeah.
So the Marketplace is coming back to council, I believe, next month on their agenda. So I would hesitate to bring something to you prior to council taking action one way or the other on that issue. And I candidly, I don't really know what they'll be bringing back, what the revisions are. I'm not privy to that information at this time. So in terms of Westward Look what was the other item? The Vistoso Trails Nature Preserve. Yeah, we can I think those will probably require Westward Look wouldn't certainly Vistoso Trails would probably require bringing in our Parks and Rec director to provide an update with how that's looking. If there's any specific questions, and certainly reach out if you have specific questions or items that you would be looking for information being provided to the commission. I think that would be helpful to staff in terms of just providing a presentation to you that meets your needs. In terms of Westward Look, again, I'm not, I think kind of the same type of issue. I think we probably could handle that. May need to bring in our public works director, just depending on what the questions are, what the information requested is from the commission. But certainly staff could reach out if we have a list of those questions and what that information looks like that you're requesting, then that would be helpful to staff, just again in terms of providing you the information that you're looking for.
For all of those, looking at the revenues being brought in and the cost expended in the near term, as well as the, you know, say 5-year outlook, would be at a minimum what we'd want to hear about.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the commission, I think most of that is actually included in our 5-year forecast that we present to council through the budget process. But we could certainly drill down into that and have a kind of a more healthy discussion, and that would be fine. We can take a look at doing that and providing that to you, certainly.
And the other subject that we wanted to get some more information on was the other pension plan.
Yes, the ASRS plan. that plan. There was a bill that was passed recently in the last legislative cycle, where they provided, an additional way or means. And I think the details on that and the structure of it is still kind of being fleshed out. Even though it was passed by the governor and approved, and we've kind of taken staff's approach, the town's approach is to kind of take a wait and see attitude towards what that kind of looks like, because certainly, as we're all aware, the devil's in the details, and we want to kind of see. We don't want to be kind of the first one out of the gate on that issue. The plan is, you're all well aware, we've had these discussions before, the plan really functions fundamentally different than the PSPRS plan because it is a shared plan with all the other towns, cities, counties, the state. We're just a very, very, very small piece or percentage of the overall pie. And so pre-funding is it works really differently. And again, that's what we're trying to ascertain, I guess, and look at is what does this new tool or whatever, what does that look like? And then also so far as I'm aware, there's more debt that would be associated with that debt issuance, and the environment for issuing debt is not the best right now. It's not certainly not as competitive as it was a year and a half, 2 years ago. So,
okay, thank you. Anything else, commissioners? No. All right, then. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
A motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We are adjourned at about 4:43, 4:45.